Our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, in Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the words of God in our own tongues."
Ten days ago in my devotional time, I was taken to a passage in Acts 1, so the chapter just before that, which they just read, and that was when Jesus was taken up, before the very eyes of his disciples taken up into heaven. He was gone. He was gone. It was what we call in the life of the church Ascension Day. And I found myself thinking about the disciples in that moment as I was reading the passage and thinking and reflecting about it and thinking about how they must have felt there in that moment. And I was trying to put myself in their shoes. They had lost Jesus before. They lost him on Good Friday when he was crucified, but then he resurrected and they had him again. He was alive. But then, I was feeling with them in that moment. But then, as he ascended, they had to say goodbye again. And I was trying to experience that moment with them and the grief that they must have been feeling on that day. What a majestic moment it must have been as he ascended into heaven. But then, that grief coming to them that he was gone. And that this time, he was really gone. But Jesus, you see, just before he ascended, he left them with some directions and really with some hope. "Do not leave Jerusalem," he said to them, "but wait for the gift of my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." They are to wait. To wait there in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit, a gift from the Father. Before Jesus was crucified, he had told them about this promise, telling them about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26, Jesus described this Holy Spirit to them as the advocate. "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." And then in Acts 1, before ascending, he adds to this description and their understanding of what the Holy Spirit is by saying, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Sometimes we receive gifts that don't have a whole lot of purpose in our life. They might be something that we put on a shelf to help decorate our home, to enjoy for a bit of time, maybe some clothes that we keep until we wear them out or they don't fit any longer or they're no longer. Don't laugh. I didn't say why they didn't fit. Or maybe they're out of style, so we don't wear them anymore. Sometimes we get gifts and we re-gift. We re-gift them. Something we don't really want, or we put them in a drawer, we take them to the local thrift store. Maybe sometimes we even get something and we're not even sure of what it is or what we're supposed to do with it. But Jesus makes sure his disciples know about in our waiting and expectation for this gift that they will receive, and then to put it into use, to know how and why they are to use it. It is to be used to be his witness. To be his witness there in Jerusalem, right in that city that he tells them to wait in, the surrounding areas of Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. The gift of the Holy Spirit is to be used so that they can be witnesses, so they can go out and speak into people's lives of the good news of Jesus Christ. So the story of Pentecost, that has great effects and dramatic in detail, has purpose and reason. The winds blow, the tongues of fire come. We can feel the coolness of those winds, the warmth of the fire. We can see and hear the roar of the winds, the crackle of that fire. But all of that, those great effects, that drama, is so that the disciples who are waiting in Jerusalem, as they were told, can be baptized with the Holy Spirit in order to then go out and be the witnesses telling of Jesus. And that's exactly what happened. As this gift was given to them, they put that gift into use and into action. You see, Jerusalem was filled with people at that time. The Jews have several feasts that they participate in yearly, coming to Jerusalem to celebrate it and to share it together. It was 50 days after the Passover, and it was the time of what they called the Feast of Weeks. This was a time when the people came together remembering the laws, that covenant that was made with Moses and with the people on Mount Sinai, those laws that would lead them into how to live in relationship with God, how to relive in relationship with each other. And so they came and they celebrated. And they came bringing an offering of thanksgiving for God for providing for them, an offering from the wheat harvest. So people were all over the place. All those people that were mentioned in the scripture, they had come. Jews from every nation, people for them to witness to. So the disciples came out of that place, the place where they had been waiting in for those past 10 days since Jesus' ascension, and they began witnessing. Witnessing in every language so that the people could understand. The Holy Spirit gave them that ability to not only speak, but to speak in the people's native language so they could hear it, understand it, come to know Jesus, so that they could hear that message that the disciples had to share, that message declaring, it said, the wonders of God. The Holy Spirit was that force that came in and blew the church into being. It was needed. It was needed in order for that church to be put into action and to go and to be witnesses. Without the Holy Spirit, the disciples were a group of people waiting. But with the coming of the Holy Spirit, they were now new creations, empowered and filled to go out and to be and to do what God had planned for them, to witness, to tell those right there in the vicinity, the people around the world, of who Jesus was and the wonders of God. They became the speakers of the word, the tellers of the story, so that God could then reach the world. So that everyone, it says later on in that chapter, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The people who were there, who heard the commotion, who heard them speaking in all these different languages so that they could understand, were amazed, perplexed, wondering what all of this meant. While at the same time, other people there were making fun of them. So Peter took hold of this gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that he experienced. He opened his mouth, calling on the people to listen, quoting from the prophet Joel, telling them of Jesus' miracles and wonders, telling them of Jesus' death, his crucifixion, and his resurrection, calling Jesus to them, Lord and Messiah. And then Peter said this to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then and there, 3,000 people accepted the message and were baptized. It did not take long before the rulers of the world were less than pleased about what was happening and this new thing that was going on. The number of believers and followers continued to grow, and when it hit 5,000, they took Peter and John with him into custody. And as the Sanhedrin questioned the two of them, the Sanhedrin, those leaders, became astonished as these two unschooled, they called them an ordinary. Can anyone identify? I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel unschooled and just kind of ordinary. So these two men, unschooled and ordinary, as they described them, had such courage. The Sanhedrin did not want this thing, they called it, this thing, to spread any further. So they warned them not to speak anymore. But Peter and John, they responded to them saying that they could not agree to that. And they said to them, "We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." You see, they had seen and heard 3 years of life with Jesus, and they could not keep from speaking it. They had accepted the gift of the Holy Spirit, and with that, they were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit to speak, to be witnesses. They couldn't deny who they were called to be and what they were then called to go and to do. It was the Holy Spirit that gave to them continued ability and desire to go. Philip, another just unschooled, ordinary kind of guy, he went to Samaria and preached, and when the crowds heard him, signs and wonders were experienced as the paralyzed and the lame were healed, and about how a great joy came upon that city. Philip explained to the Ethiopian eunuch about a scripture in Isaiah, and told him about the good news of Jesus. And as they came upon water, he was baptized. The Holy Spirit gave Ananias the ability and the willingness to go to Saul. Saul, a man who was persecuting the church, those Christians. And Ananias healed his blindness and baptized him with the Holy Spirit. And the book of Acts continues to show how the Holy Spirit empowered the people to be speakers of the world, of the word, so that God could reach the world. So what does all of this mean to us? What does this mean to us to read the scripture, to celebrate and to call this day Pentecost? Was it just a day? Or is there a reason that we read this story and remember and celebrate this as a part of the church year and the cycle of our life together? The Jews, the disciples began witnessing too on that first Pentecost day. They were waiting. They were waiting for the Messiah, for Jesus to come. They were desperate for relief, for salvation, for their world was not offering hope to them. We live in a world and in a time when people seem to live in a state of fear, anxiety, chaos, searching for answers, desperate for peace and for stability. I heard it on the news again this morning as I watched, and I heard about what would happen in London and the people there, and now the continued fear that is in their lives. What witness do we have? What witness do we have to give to them that will speak the good news of Jesus Christ into their lives, that will speak into their brokenness to bring healing and restoration, that will transform despair into hope, that will give proof that life is stronger and more powerful than death? Jesus overcame the death. He was and he is and he will be victorious. We have this good news. We have it, and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. For it's been given to us. Given to us to speak. To be speakers of the word. So that God can reach the world. I'm really good at speaking here at church. Speaking in worship and in staff meetings. Conversations I have with people one-on-one. Or I really should say, if I'm honest, fairly good. Because sometimes the truth is, I think, well, I don't really want to offend them either. They might think I'm such a Jesus freak. It'd scare them. Or they'd run away or not want to listen. So I don't even know that I'm that good sometimes at speaking in ways that the Spirit nudges me among Christian people. But beyond these walls, to strangers, to people I don't know well, if they will accept my message, I'm just not good. Not good at doing that at all. I squelch the Holy Spirit and what he has for people, what he wants to do in my life. I set up boundaries for who he wants to reach. As we look at the words of Jesus in Acts, that the Holy Spirit is a gift of God. What I'm doing, I know, is like I'm taking that gift and I've taken the bow off and maybe some of the tape, but I'm not quite willing and ready to just tear the package open and let God's Spirit be unleashed upon me to speak, to be empowered, to take hold of that full empowerment of all that God has to give in order to be a speaker of the word. So that God can reach the world. So in this week and in this time of preparation, God's really, I know, been working on me. I'm being willing to really accept that full power that the Holy Spirit has to be his word, his voice, speaking Jesus into the world, into his people. His creation that he loves so dearly. What about you? Have you accepted that baptism of the Holy Spirit? Accepted that gift that God is offering to you? His Holy Spirit. So that you can be his witness. His witness in Lakeland, Polk County, and around Florida, and to the ends of the earth. For that is the promise that Jesus has for us. That is the reason that we continue to celebrate this day, this Pentecost. To remember that violent wind coming through and the flames like fire resting upon their heads. But to remember not just that picture that we have in our head, but the power that the Holy Spirit gave to the people, the power that is available for us today. For God is calling us, you and me, to be speakers of his word so that he can reach the world. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, I thank you so much that you do not leave us alone, that you have sent your Holy Spirit to be with us, to live among us, to live within us. For Lord, it could be frightening sometimes. Just our own fears that we allow to well up. And so sometimes we don't share the message. Sometimes we don't share a witness. We don't tell a story. We don't tell of your wonders that we have experienced in our lives. Mostly because we're trying to do it on our own. So, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit to fall afresh upon each of us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill us and renew us and strengthen us, empower us, Lord. So that we may be your witnesses. For there is a world inside these walls and a world beyond these walls that need you. That need to hear good news. But they need Jesus. So we thank you and we praise you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Go from this place in the grace and the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go from this place filled with the Holy Spirit. Go and speak. Speak the word. Speak God's word into people's lives so that God can change the world, so that God can reach the world with that grace, that love, that mercy that you've received. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.